We'll now read from the Book of Heaven, Volume 22, July 26, 1927. How the Divine Will has two characters, incessant act and unshakable firmness. How the human actions serve as straw for the wheat. I was lamenting because of the privation of my sweet Jesus, and pouring out my intense sorrow, I said to myself, how hard his abandonment is. I feel as though I am under a press, squeezed drop by drop. O Jesus, where are your promises? Where is your love? Where is the triumph of your divine will in my poor soul? I feel as though betrayed by you. How bitter my end is. It is not the beginning that one must look at. It is the end that says everything. But while I was pouring myself out, my beloved good, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, my divine will has its triumph in you. And this is why it squeezes you, drop by drop, under its divine press, so that not even a drop of your will may be left in you. Poor daughter, it is a divine and unshakable will that works you in order to lay its kingdom in you, even in your littlest acts. Therefore, patience, do not lose heart. My divine will has two characters, unshakable firmness and incessant act. This is why when the soul has given herself to it, its work is incessant. Don't you feel its continuous motion within yourself? And when I manifest to you a truth about it, with a mastery that is all its own and divine, it places its incessant motion in attitude and repeats it continuously within you. And while repeating it, it triumphs because it does in you what it does within itself of its own nature. Is this not then the triumph of my will? Then afterwards he added, my daughter, all human actions, working, taking food, sleeping, the pains, the encounters, now of sorrow, now of joy, are nothing other than straw. Now, we cannot be formed without the straw. On the contrary, the straw defends the wheat from frost, from the burning rays of the sun, from the waters, from all the intemperances of the air. Like a garment, it covers the wheat and grows with it, and only when it is formed, the wheat, and given life to it, then it detaches from it, and the poor straw performs and receives its detachment by dint of threshing after it has served the wheat and given life to it. Such are the human actions. From the littlest to the greatest, they are all straws. And if one lets the wheat of my will flow within them, they serve in an admirable way to hide and preserve the wheat of my divine volition. And the more the straw, the more wheat can one hope to possess. It is an attachment, my daughter. It is an enchantment, my daughter, to see a human action enclosing within itself the most pure wheat and the refulgent gold of my divine will. Like straws, it seems that they have primacy over the wheat, and they can boast, saying, it is true that we are straws, but we hide within ourselves a divine will that is more than wheat. We remain at its service and give it the field that it may be formed in our action. On the other hand, if my will does not flow within them, the human actions remain as straws, worthy of being burned, because they have not formed within them the pure wheat that serves the celestial fatherland. Now, just as the straw is detached from the wheat by dint of threshing, in the same way, the human actions are detached from from the pure wheat of my divine will by means of death that, knocking down what is human, crushes the garment that kept the gold wheat of my will clothed and letting it out. It manifests whether it was wheat or straw that the soul possessed. Therefore, it is not the human actions that indicate the value of them, but the will by which they are animated. How many actions, apparently beautiful and holy, will be found as full of mud if done for the purpose of interest, full of wind if done for the purpose of esteem and personal glory, full of rot if done to please creatures, full of smoke if done out of attachment to what is human. How many things do the straws of the human actions hide? But on the last day of life, when the threshing comes and crushes the straws, it will make known everything they kept hidden inside. Afterwards, I continued my abandonment in the divine fiat. My always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, "My daughter, the human will rendered man like a cracked and collapsing factory, that man had no virtue of being able to repair by himself. The divine maker was needed, who had built it with so much love, and who, knowing the secrets of his art, could repair it and make the vital fluid of his divine repairing strength flow into the cracks, so as to render it solid again, just as he had built it. But it is necessary that man draw near the divine repairer in order to receive the benefit of his art, that he let himself be handled by him, and that he no longer let the human will act, the primary cause for his becoming a collapsing factory. Otherwise, in spite of the coming of the celestial constructor, man will always be cracked and a collapsing factory."
July 30th, 1927. How life is in the incessant motion. How this motion produces the spring. The value of the interior acts. I was following the holy divine volition, but always with the hard nail of being without my highest good. What good comes to me by following the acts of the supreme fiat, when I am without the one who issued the whole creation with a supreme accent of his volition? To follow his will and not to see him, to see his works that speak of him and not to be clasped in his arms, is an indescribable pain. It is a wound that bleeds continuously. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior and told me, "My daughter, life is in the continuous motion. Everything that comes from God must possess a motion. So there is not one thing created by us which does not move. Heavens and earth, sun and sea, they all move with such order and continuous velocity as to never stop. If they did stop, life would cease, and the good they do would also cease. At the most, they would remain like painted pictures, which are unable to do good to anyone. A good, an act, can only be called true good when it has its incessant motion. This is why our divine being is perfect in all our acts, because it is to do and to give good. And if it did cease, which cannot be, the life of good would cease. Now our will, life and perfect echo of our divine being, is incessant motion, and therefore It is perfect good, and a good which can give itself to all. When a good is incessant, all can take it. Its continuous motion makes it possess the spring of inexhaustibility. Therefore, one who must live in my divine will must possess the echo of my will, and with incessant motion, follow its acts and the good that comes to you, which places you in the order of the divine motion, moves you with enchanting rapidity, and goes around together with all created things. Your acts are inexhaustible, and all can take the good of them, because they come from the spring of the eternal fiat. And do you think it is trivial to do a good that always springs? And this is the cause for which in creatures one cannot see true and perfect goods, because their virtues are interrupted. And as they lose the incessant motion of a virtue, the life of the good of it already ceases. They lose the taste, the pace, the strength, because they do not possess the incessant motion. And so the life of the virtue is not formed in them, nor that act which always springs, but rather something superficial and passing. So how can they give the good of those virtues to all if they do not possess their life and spring themselves, which are such that while they give to others, they are never exhausted and lose nothing? Does the sun perhaps lose anything by giving its light to all? Certainly not, because it possesses the spring of light, and its motion of giving light is incessant. Therefore, my daughter, in my divine will, your acts, your prayers, your asking for its kingdom must have the incessant motion to be able to impetrate for all that the divine fiat be known and loved by all. Then after this, I was following the most holy and adorable divine will. Excuse me. In my interior. And my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, the interior acts of a soul who does the will of God are free from any evil and shadow of defect. God alone is witness of an interior act, and while no one points at her, no one looks at her, no one speaks of her, God, there where no one is given to penetrate, in the interior of the creature,
Maureen, would you like
points at her,
carry on for you,
her, and speaks to the whole of heaven. And many times, also to the earth, of the great portents of the interior work of this creature, to be pointed at, to be looked at by God. Oh, Rita?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, if you would like to, of course.
It sounded like you were struggling to help you out. But now I've lost my place. I'm so sorry, Cindy.
Cindy, I think it's your Wi-Fi.
It's the greatest act and honor that she can receive and cannot be excluded from the great works which God will accomplish through her.
Yeah, I'm still lost.
The interior acts are wounds, darts.
Okay. Excuse me, I'll just clear my throat.
Cindy, I think it's your Wi-Fi. It doesn't sound
I'm sorry.
Like it's
Do you want to take over, Lindy? Thank you.
To be pointed at, to be looked at by God.
So it's the last paragraph.
I got it.
Right in the middle. A little bit, almost to the middle.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know what? I'll listen for the rest.
To be pointed at, to be looked at by God, to make him speak of a creature is the greatest act and sorrow that she can receive and cannot be excluded from the great works that God will accomplish through her. The interior acts are wounds, darts, arrows to the divine bosom. They are celestial messengers that are released from the creature and fly to her creator, bringing the mark of glory, of love, and of pleasing only he who has created her. In fact, who sees, who listens to, who appreciates all the things that you do in your interior? No one. I alone am witness of them, listen to them, and appreciate them. This is why, in our greatest works, we choose souls who, in appearance, show nothing great and marvelous, but interior souls who are unblemished either by human views or by the clamorous noise, the glory, the self-esteem that the eternal works bring. In fact, in redemption, we choose a simple virgin without external splendors, but she had her interior speaking and was able to say so much one-on-one with her creator as to conquer him and obtain redemption. Now we have done the same for the kingdom of the divine fiat. We have chosen another one, all interior, who will say much and will pray God to concede the longed-for kingdom. The external acts, also good and holy, cannot please me like the interior acts, because the external ones are almost always impregnated with the air of self-glory, with human esteem, and sometimes also with blame. And a poor heart feels within itself the effects of the praises or of the blame, after it had made sacrifices, and what is human enters the field and invests the acts of the creature with its tenebrous air, and therefore they do not reach me as pure as they should be. On the other hand, an interior act is neither blamed nor praised by anyone, and what is human has no way in, since she does not feel watched by anyone to do to the soul herself. It seems that she does nothing great, and therefore her acts are all impregnated with celestial air. Therefore, be attentive and let your interior always go round in my will.
August 4th, 1927. There is no greater happiness than a king who serves his queen and a queen who serves her king. When the divine will reigns, it is like the beating of the heart, example of father and son. I was feeling highly afflicted because of the usual privations of my beloved Jesus. But as usual as this pain is, it becomes more intense and ever more harsh, to the point of rendering me petrified. Now, while I was as though immersed in the sea of this pain, I was given a refreshment, and in that ice-cold water, I looked at the will of He who kept me tortured and yet loved me as He prepared that refreshment. And as I was bringing it to my lips, Jesus moved in my interior in the act of stretching out His hand in order to sustain the glass, to help me Himself to drink, saying, "I am serving my Queen. She serves me, who am her king, and I serve her, who is my queen. In fact, one who does my will and lives in it is always ready to do what I want Therefore, she serves her king faithfully and in an admirable way. And since my will is in her, I serve my own will that rendered her queen. On hearing this, I burst into tears of unspeakable tenderness, and I thought to myself, Queen, Queen, and he leaves me so alone and abandoned to the point of letting me reach the extremes. And then he comes up with something new to leave me for even longer. Ah, Jesus, Jesus, do you want to make fun of me? But while I was pouring out my sorrow, he moved again in my interior and added, My daughter, I'm not making fun of you. On the contrary, I tell you that there is no greater happiness than when a king serves the queen and the queen the king. And if the queen were to be infirm, if she saw herself as served by the king, sustained in his arms, being fed the food by his hands, for there is nothing that the king does not do for her, allowing no servant to come close and serve his queen. The infirmity would change it to happiness for the infirm queen. And in seeing herself being touched, served, sustained, watched over by the king, she feels as though his love were giving life back to her. If this happens in the natural world, that a king is happier to be served by the queen, a father by his daughter, while the daughter was served by her father or by her mama, and this, because the king, the father, the daughter, have love as the first act in the service they offer, and would want to give their lives with their services, and this is why they are made happy in their pains, which does not happen with servants, and this is why the service of servants is always harsh, much more so in the supernatural order. One who lives in my will is my queen, and her first act is love. And in all the acts she does, she gives me her life. Ah, how happy I feel in her acts, because those are the acts of my very will that serve me. And in seeing you infirm because of me, I feel happy to serve you in the very things created by me, wanting to give you my very life in each one of them. And in giving it to you, I feel my happiness being doubled, because I feel my life in she who possesses my will that made her a queen to me. Not so when the things created by me serve one who does not do my will. These are servants, because they do not possess a royal will. And oh, how hard it is for me to serve servants. If a king serves his queen, he does not degrade himself. On the contrary, he acquires glory and heroism. But having to serve servants, what sorrow and humiliation. After this, I was following the acts of in the divine volition, and I thought to myself, what an impression have the privations of my sweet Jesus caused on my poor soul. I no longer feel those fervors so ardent of before, but everything is coldness. Oh God, what a double-edged knife is your privation. With one edge it cuts, with the other it kills, and with its cuts it removes and destroys everything and leaves such nakedness, even to the holiest things, that one can just barely live and only to fulfill the supreme volition. But while I was thinking of this, my beloved Jesus moved in my interior telling me, My daughter, yet everything you used to feel before in your interior entered into the order of ordinary grace. Fervors, sensibilities are ordinary grace that I give to all according to their dispositions and that are subject to interruptions, to now rising and now dying, and therefore they constitute neither life nor solidity or sanctity. On the other hand, in my will, I have invested you with extraordinary grace, which is firmness in good and incessant act, virtues that are exclusively divine. Do you think that your continuous round in the works of your Creator is something trivial or ordinary? The firmness of your will in mine, only to follow the acts of my eternal will? In the face of my will, fervors, sensibilities have nothing to do with it. They are like little lights before the great sun that have no reason to exist. And if they do exist, it is for doing nothing. My will absorbs everything and makes the soul become all of God, who wants to make of her another son. One who is son wants everyone to become son. It would not be something worthy of it to form little lights. It would go out of its nature. And you are there crying over the little lights, and do not think that a son invests you, giving you firmness and unshakability. More so, even when my will reigns in the soul, it is like the beating of the heart that has the primary act of life in all of the members. It is like life, motion, strength, heat. Everything comes from the heartbeat. If the heartbeat ceases, life, motion, and everything else cease. Now, as my will beats in the soul, it beats and gives divine life. It beats and gives its incessant motion, its strength that is never exhausted. It beats and gives its inextinguishable light. How beautiful is it? How beautiful it is to see the continuous beating of my will in the creature. It is the greatest miracle that exists between heaven and earth. It is the perfect order between creator and creature. With the soul in whom the heartbeat of my will reigns, I act like a father who keeps his son always with him. He communicates his ways to him. He feeds him his words. He would want to palpitate in his son in order to give him his intelligence, his life. And when he is sure that his son is another him and can do what he knows how to do, he says to him, "My son, go out into the field of life and do what your father has done until now. Work, take care of our businesses. Take upon yourself the whole commitment of the family. You will be the repetition of my life, and I will rest. I will accompany you with my heartbeat, that you may feel within yourself the life of your father and may carry it out faithfully. As I wait for you in my rest to enjoy together the fruits of your toils." More than as father do I act when a soul in whom my will reigns. Rather, a father cannot give his heartbeat to his son while I give it to her. I keep her always together with me. I teach her my divine ways. I communicate to her my secrets, my strength. And when I am sure, I fling her into the field of the life of my will, that she may take on the whole commitment of the human family. And I say to her, "My daughter, let me rest. I entrust everything to you. But in my rest, I will wait for you often to enjoy the fruit of the work you do in the kingdom of my will." Don't you want then that your Father, your Jesus, may rest while you work in my place, but always with my heartbeat? And I, "My Jesus, but you almost no longer tell me anything. And not only does it seem to me that I have to work alone without you, but I miss your word that lays for me the way that I must cover in the kingdom of your will." And Jesus added, "My daughter, my word is life. And when I speak, I must see whether this life
and have life in the creatures. If it is not so, I do not expose a divine life of mine that there is no one who receives. And it is enough for me to see even a single creature disposed to release this divine life for myself within my word. This is why many times I do not speak, because I do not see anyone disposed to live the life of my word. More so, since with you I have no need of the words to make myself understood, it is enough to look at each other in order to understand each other. Isn't it true? You understand me, and I understand you.
August 9th, 1927, how creation and redemption are divine territories given to creatures. The love of Jesus in making her sleep. How light and heat are inseparable from each other. I was following the divine will in its acts, and my beloved Jesus followed me with his gaze to see whether I would visit all of his works. And he told me, "My daughter, I am working to see whether I am watching to see whether you visit all my territories. You must know that creation is a territory of mine. Redemption is added territories. Even more, my childhood, my tears and baby wailings, my prayers, my works, my steps, my hidden and public life are as many apartments of mine which I formed within my territory. There is not one thing I did and pain I suffered which I did not use to expand the boundaries of the divine territories in order to give them to creatures. Now, every day, I look at whether at least the little daughter of my will visits all of my territories and enters each of my apartments. And when I see you begin your rounds to visit the sun, the stars, the heavens, the sea, and all created things, I feel that my territories, which with so much love I have formed and gave to creatures, are not abandoned. There is at least one who visits them, and if she visits them, it means that she loves them and has accepted the gift. And I anxiously wait for you to continue your visits in Bethlehem, the place in which I was born, and visit my tears, my pains, my steps, my works, the miracles I perform, the sacraments I instituted, my passion, my cross, in sum, everything. And I make you aware, if anything escapes you, that you make your little visit, be it even in passing. And oh, how content I am that my apartments are all being visited. My daughter, what a sorrow it is to give and not be recognized, to give and have no one who takes the good one wants to give. And do you know what I do? When I see you all by yourself going around throughout all of my territories and visiting my apartments, I give you all the goods which are in them in such a way that what I should give to others, I centralize in you. So I give you everything and you give me everything. In fact, in order to be able to give everything to the soul, I must find everything in her. And in order for her to be able to give me everything, she must possess everything. One who has everything has the capacity of being able to give me everything and to receive everything. Afterwards, I was feeling such profound sleepiness as to be unable even to write. And I thought to myself, why this sleepiness when vigil has almost always been nature in me? And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, just as a doctor makes the poor patient who has to undergo surgery fall asleep so as not to let him feel all the harshness of the pain of the cuts he has to make of the poor infirm one, in the same way, I, celestial doctor, who loves you so much, in order not to let you feel the continuous press of my privations, its repeated blows, the harshness of its painful cuts, make you fall asleep, so that in breaking your martyrdom, sleep may give you a little bit of respite from the pain so intense. But while you sleep, your Jesus sustains you in his arms, and I continue my work in your soul. And not only this, but I make you sleep because my justice, too irritated by the offenses of creature, may do its course in striking the creatures. And by sleeping, you may not only leave it free in its course, but may be spared the sorrow of seeing its just blows over the ungrateful world. Oh, if you could see how your Jesus embraces you delicately so as not to let you feel the touch of my embraces, how I kiss you so very softly that you may not feel the touch of my lips, how I keep repeating so very quietly, my poor daughter, my poor daughter, what a hard martyrdom you are in, so that the sound of my voice may not wake you up, and how, without clamor of voices and motions, I continue the work of the kingdom of my divine fiat in your soul. You would not say any more that I no longer love you as before. On the contrary, you would say to me, oh, how very much does Jesus love me? And if he makes me fall asleep, it is so that I may not suffer more. After this, I was following the divine volition, and my sweet Jesus added, my daughter, in order to form a greater light, it takes more heat. Light and heat are inseparable from each other. If there is light, there must be heat, because the nature of light is heat, and the nature of heat is light. However, if one wants great light, it takes much heat. They are both equal forces, and together they form their life. Now, one who does my will and lives in it receives the life of light and of heat from her Creator. And as the soul thinks about my divine will, she forms the heat, and she speaks about it. She adds more heat, and as she operates in order to fulfill it, she doubles the heat. As she walks on its ways, she multiplies the heat, and the light becomes brighter, stronger, and extends and expands more. So there is not one part of her being which does not spread rays of vivifying light. More so, since she possesses the source of the life of light, which is my supreme fiat. From this, you will be able to comprehend how creatures possess as much light and heat for as much contact as they have with my will, and for as much as they try to fulfill it in their actions. And if it is not so, even if one sees them doing good, it is a good without life, without light, and without heat. It is superficial virtues which form a painted light and heat, and which, when touched, are found cold and without the good of a vivifying light that gives life. And many times, the works without the divine will, on the occasions, reveal how they were nourished by passions and vices which were colored by that apparent good. Then he kept silent, and I tried to abandon all of myself in his will in order to follow it. And my highest good, Jesus, continued saying, my daughter, in creating man, our divinity bound him completely to us. So his memory, intellect, and will were bonds of union. His eyes, mouth, hearing, heart, hands, and feet were bonds. And if the creature lives in my will, as she places each of these bonds in attitude, she receives the attitude of the divine life. So she is formed and developed like a little plant, which, while possessing the fecundity of its earth, full of vital humors, watered with pure and abundant water, is all exposed to the beneficial rays of the sun, receiving its continuous life. Oh, how well it grows, how enjoyable are its fruits, how sought for, loved, and appreciated. In the same way, the soul, by receiving the continuous life of God, by means of all these bonds, which more than solar rays, communicate themselves over each part of her being, is preserved as fecund earth, full of vital and divine humors, which more than blood flow within her. How well she grows. She is the beloved, the one who is sought for by heaven and earth. Her life, her works, her words, more than fruits, are enjoyable for all. God himself takes pleasure in enjoying fruits so precious. Therefore, how can you feel that I may leave you if you are bound to me with so many bonds from which you receive continuous life?
Back on the beginning in the second page, he speaks about his territories and all the apartments, etc. And I found myself lax in that because in doing the rounds, I've never done that. It included his apartments, as he calls them, you know, the territories. And he wants us to remember Bethlehem. He uses that for an example. This is the Bethlehem place where I was born. And where he did his passion. We do that quite often, but I've never done Bethlehem at all. It's just a reminder for us. He wants us to know everything. He says in the next paragraph down, he says, "One who has everything has the capacity of being able to give me everything and to receive everything." So I guess he's referring to if we're going to be in divine will, that covers everything, his whole life and creation, everything. And we can just place ourselves there anytime we want, but he wants us not to forget Bethlehem. Sounds like here, for any place where he lived and he wrote about and talked about, that's what he's talking about here. You know, that we include everything, and that's what I got out of it anyway. That he wants us to get now for us to get in the habit of doing that, because, and he's talking about people that are in the divine will, and that's what we would be if he wants us to be ready for when we're in the divine will, for us personally, because that's where we're going to be. We're going to be anywhere we want to be. And we get good practice with this letter, this page here, is he's even saying, well, go back to everywhere I was, anywhere, and everything I did. And that's part of being in the divine will. That's a big part of it. That's the part of it, is that's what divine will is, being in the divine will is. And he's just bringing up the fact that anything he did in life is registered, and we can tap into it anytime we want in the divine will. So we might as well get practicing, and that's what we're doing. We're reading these readings. It's get preparing us really for being in the divine will completely. And this is one of them right here with this reading, you know, that he wants us to do that. And we do that, and we do the rounds. And that's just one of the rounds really that he's talking about. So the rounds is everything. The rounds is, when we do the rounds, we include everything. That's because God, Jesus, life is everything, and that's what he wants us to pick up on, to learn and to understand, that we can put ourselves anywhere we want with Jesus, because Jesus, all his works and everything, all his acts are in acts, we can put it that way. Amen.
Deacon, can we pray our rosary in as rounds in the divine will?
Sure. Certainly.
So we can use that as rounds if we place our I love you at every mystery.
Oh, I see what you mean. You see, yes, we can. We can do anything. Anything we do is in act. If we want to join Jesus in act, then that's what we do when we say the rosary. It's a classic example, really, you know.
And I really like the black book, Be Faithful and Attentive, for the rounds of the rosary, because every single Hail Mary has a specific intention of being in the round.
Yes, absolutely. All 15 are in the rounds. Everything we know about, everything that Jesus has taught us in the divine will can be in the rounds, because everything, it's his life. And we can just use that. We can use everything that Jesus did, everything in his life. We can use that for, that's what divine will is, you know, be united with all, and that's what he's telling us here, really. He says everything, in one of the, where we just read, he wants us to be able to use everything of his life, anything that we can tap into, and that's why he wants us to learn more and more and more. Because he wants us to be united with him, and if we don't know enough about it, we won't be united. That's why he's bringing up Bethlehem. We didn't think about and never thought about Bethlehem, but he's saying, "Yeah, Bethlehem and everything." So
in the rosary, rosary, you're thinking about Bethlehem, right?
No. Because he mentions Bethlehem. That's why I said it in the reading that we just had. But I think he's using that because he's letting us know what he's talking about. He says, even Bethlehem. That's why I took it myself when I said, oh, I never did Bethlehem. Well, if we're doing Bethlehem, we're doing everything, you know, because that's how that's what he's letting us know. And that was in the same paragraph that he says he wants us to have everything, to include everything in when we're in the divine will. All acts, everything that Jesus did, we can include. So
I'm confused with the 15 mysteries. I thought there were 20 with the luminous mysteries, and I try to place myself with Jesus in the rosary, like when he's on the mountain and giving the Beatitudes. And because I had the privilege of being able to go to the Holy Land, I can imagine and see myself in certain places, like the Visitation. Am I correct in what I'm trying to do during the rosary?
Sure, absolutely. That's what he's talking about. That's precisely what he's talking about. Anything in his life that we can go in and we can tap into, you know. So, okay. Sure, and 20 mysteries, and if you want to go on and on, you go through the rosary. That's 20, and then that's not the end of it. It's only the beginning, you know, of what he wants us from us, you know. So that's. Absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that.
Thank you, Deacon.
Terry, mm-hmm. I was thinking that's such a blessing to be able to go to Bethlehem, and I hope to do that someday. And when we were reading this, it made me think immediately of Mike Scherslick, who is from Kansas City, that does the School of Faith
daily rosary with meditations and teaching of the faith. And I keep hoping to have a conversation with him about divine will, but like I just thought, what a blessing to be able to be covering with your feet these places where Jesus walked and Mary walked, and just to go to these places, because it is, that's like, then you're in the round, you're a part of it. And I love the paragraph right after the one you pointed out, Deacon, where Jesus says, "My daughter, what a sorrow it is to give and not to be recognized to give and have no one who takes the good one wants to give. And do you know what I do when I see you all by yourself going around throughout all my territories and visiting my apartments? I give you all the goods that are in them in such a way that what I should give to others, I centralize in you. So I give you everything and you give me everything."
Perfect. Yes. These readings are so good when we take our time to read, to pick them apart, aren't they? You know, there's so much he wants to tell us, and they all have a purpose in what he's letting us know. And he's molding us again. He continues to mold us, what he wants us to be when we are in the divine will. doesn't want us to stop when we're in the divine will. These lessons are when we're in the divine will, and how he wants us to act in the divine will. And so that these readings today are the ones we're talking about. That's exactly what he wants from us. He's telling us what he wants of us in the divine will. And but the human will gets in our way. And there was quite a few readings we had today where the human will gets in our way. And even when we're in the divine will and we're doing all these good things, we had a reading like that today, but how are we accepting them? We're doing these good things, but yet and pride enters into that, or some kind of a pride. Anyway, he let us know that we shouldn't let this go to our heads, so to speak, you know, that we're in the divine will when we're in the divine will. We just become a nobody, and don't be feeling like you're very important when you're in the divine will, because you're going to lose what you're going to be in, because that's human will talking, you know. So he's preparing us when we're in the divine will that we don't act that way, you know, because that's our human will making us act that way, with pride and thinking how important we are. Now we're in the divine will, we can't have that. So he says people that are nobodies, that's who he wants, people that don't fall for that, you know. And so that was one of the readings. In fact, I think it was on two readings, that we be careful that we don't let pride enter into it, because that's our human. But even then, she doesn't say for that's human will. But when I read it, I said, "Oh, that's human will getting in there," you know.
I like that too.
Did you? Yeah.
He was talking about the difference between an interior act and an exterior act, and that I liked that you know, when you're making interior acts, no one sees, no one pays attention. As compared to an exterior act, when everybody sees, or yeah, I really like that.
Yeah, he doesn't condemn them out and out, but he tells us how it's he'd rather not have that, because it's taking something away from it. You know, it's not part of really being in divine will properly. You know, so that was a good teaching for us, because you can see us working so hard to be in the divine will, and we make it, and then we start feel so good about ourselves. We want to tell the world, "I made it," and you feel good about yourself, and but you're not in divine will anymore, because you just let the human will take over. You know, that's what I thought of when I read that. You know, so it's constant, and we want to be like Jesus as best we can. And when we get in the divine, we'll be used to it, and that's how we want to be, to take all these tips, and he's preparing us for when we get into the divine will, how we're supposed to act. Even when we get into it, he's preparing us, to get into the divine will. But once we get in there, be careful too, because, you know, human nature and human will can get in there. I think by the time we get that far, I don't think that would happen. He doesn't give much indication. He just says that we're limited a little bit. He'd rather us not do that, you know, not let that happen to us. He didn't really condemn it, but he was a little negative about it, you know.
Okay, Deacon, can you give us your blessing now?
Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for these teachings today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedict Alphos Omnipotent Deus Pater et Filius Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.